Welcome. If you're a woman who has a sense that there's more out there for you, you're in the right place. I'm Whitney Baker, host of the Electric Ideas podcast. Somewhere along the line of work and kids, life carried on, but I lost track of my truth. I'm on a reflective journey, and that's what this podcast is all about. Each week, I interview a woman who is lighting her own path and offering others hope. Before our conversation ends, we'll share a reflective question for you to explore. Sometimes all we need is a jolt, a fresh idea, an aha moment that connects us to a sense of possibility. This, my friends, is what I call an electric idea.
Welcome back to Electric Ideas. Today's guest is Laura Adrian. Laura is a retreat facilitator, speaker, and writer who teaches us all about how nature heals. Laura is founder of Whole Life Elevation, and her journey is shaped by extensive training as a certified mindfulness meditation teacher from the University of California, Berkeley. She's had the good fortune to study under several luminaries in this field, like Jack Kornfield and Tara Brach. Laura has an interesting mix for a background, and I feel like she's created something truly unique that blends a lot of her experience and expertise, because formerly she was a chemist and an environmental scientist at 3M. So she likes to blend nuggets of science into everything she offers. Probably the most common way she works with women is through her signature 5-day wilderness immersions, where she guides women to really set down the burdens of modern life, disconnect, and embrace the wisdom of nature. In my own experience, consciously connecting with nature, which you'll learn more about in this conversation, has supported my sense of wonder, helped shift my energy, and much more. I think in today's fast-paced and often technology-driven world, it's more important than ever to make this effort, because it truly does make us feel more grounded and connected and reminds us to be a positive steward of the natural world. I know it's a season when many of us are being called to come out of hibernation mode and spend some time outside. This episode is the perfect invitation to do just that, and maybe with even a little bit more intention. So let's get into it. Hi, Laura. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me here.
So among other things, I know that you lead what look like very meaningful retreats in the wild and outdoor places. And what was coming up for me as I was looking forward to our conversation is that women often say they need a vacation from their vacation. And I think sometimes that's a little telling. I'm curious what type of experiences women have with you that maybe many of us are craving but really can't articulate.
That's a good question. One of the things that the retreats kind of do is just like help women feel more alive and more connected, and often in a very organic way that's just kind of imbued into the experience. And I think a lot of what helps is just being in nature and feeling just that sense of peace or calm when you're like looking at a beautiful vista or like sitting by a lake. And another piece is that a big part of my retreats is creating space to recharge and reflect. And a lot of the nature practices that I teach help do that. And a part of it is like being in nature and the benefits that we receive just from like being outside. Yeah, there are different things like fights inside, so the trees give off, or just seeing like a calm lake can be really rejuvenating. But also it's like where our mind goes and how we intentionally work with that experience, which is something really unique that my experiences offer that not many do. It's like half of the battle is getting out of nature, but then it's like, how do we show up in that space can make a big difference.
Yeah. It sounds like you're talking a little bit about carving out a time where women can truly rest and restore, which is tricky in our very on-demand society and lives. Receive is a word that's coming up a lot for me. How do you think that nature can help women shift into that receiving mode instead of in the constantly doing and giving away of ourselves mode that some of us operate in?
I actually learned this kind of the hard way. So my tendency just growing up, definitely through my early 20s, maybe even mid to late 20s, is like, I'm an achiever. I'm very goal oriented. I'm like a school nerd and I work really hard in school. And I'm always, okay, what's the next thing? But what happened to me in my, I think I was about 26, so about 10 years ago, I got a severe illness and I had just started my own business. So I quit my corporate job at 3M and I got a severe illness. I basically burned through all my savings at that point. And I was trying to start my business as a yoga teacher. And I was just like exhausted. I was so tired and depleted and kind of like basically this rock bottom moment. My partner, who had training in conscious nature connection through this psychologist and energy healer, Warren Grossman, had what I thought was the craziest suggestion at the time for me. And he, my partner, was like, why don't you lie on the earth? And I was like, this is so stupid. This is not going to work. This is not what I need. But I'm also very curious. And I'm a little bit of a scientist at heart. So I'm like, okay, I'll just see what happens and view it as an experiment. And the first time I did it, I had never felt anything like it. And I just felt like basically like I was receiving this energy, or it even felt kind of like love. I was like receiving that. And I had never been in such a receptive place. And then this actually became a big part of my healing process. And that direct connection on the earth has like, you know, impacts our bodies in certain ways too. Like it helps the immune system and reduces inflammation. But also like that sheer act of not doing anything was really new to me and new to my system. And that was kind of like the start of like, oh, maybe there is something to this. And later on when I kind of learned some different frameworks around it, I learned that part of like any kind of creation process that could be like a business or a work of art or many things oftentimes can start with like this receptive place. And it's not just all about like going in this linear fashion. Receiving can be a big part of that and offer healing or wisdom or insight that we would have never gotten to if we were just full force going at it all the time.
It's interesting to me that not only were you a self-proclaimed overachiever and go type of person, which many of us are, but also you brought that scrutiny from a science background. And sometimes I think people need to experience something in their heart versus intellectualizing it. So what advice do you have for people that are just wary of trying something without having tons of evidence to prove it could be for them?
I'm actually writing a book, and this is something I talk a lot in my book about, is kind of like being your own scientist, because that's going to make the most impact on you anyway, regardless of what anyone says. Like your personal objective experience is very powerful, and that's going to really make an impression. So what I often encourage people to do is just like be curious about your experience, whatever you're trying on, whether that's like meditation or nature stuff. I encourage people to notice how they feel before they do the practice, just like a check-in. Oh, what is my energy like? What kind of thoughts are swirling around in my head? How does my body feel? So take an inventory. And then ideally, we're kind of like tracking that throughout the process, during and then after as well. And then a lot of times people will notice a change, but if they're not actively like paying attention to how they feel or their energy, you know, they're not really going to notice it as much. But yeah, I started doing that on my nature retreats. And it's cool to hear what people say. And it means more when they can experience for themselves, like, oh, I feel more relaxed. I was worried about this before I started meditating in this session, but now I feel at peace. Or my chest felt really tight before we began, and then it started to loosen. You know, so those things are really impactful.
You talked specifically, you mentioned the term conscious nature connection, which seemed to be maybe a new term to you at the time. I think a lot of people have an understanding, at least at a basic level, that spending time outside can be life-giving and good for our wellness. What is different about conscious nature connection?
So I think many of us are naturally drawn to nature, and we feel better in nature. We feel more alive in nature. And I actually started using the term conscious nature connection. I didn't hear from anyone else, but I don't know. I don't want to say I'm coining it, but that's something I started to use on my own. So what that is to me is basically like mindfulness in nature. It's where we start to pay attention to our experience, and we can direct our minds in certain ways that can really amplify the experience. Okay, for example, there was a study done where there were two groups of people. One group of people was basically told to just like go for a walk in nature. Great. That's going to have some benefits already. Another group was basically taught to be curious about their surroundings, see what sounds and sights they can notice and things like that. And so that would be like conscious nature connection, like you're using your mind in a certain way to direct an experience. And the interesting thing about that study is that both groups were instructed to like take selfies during the study. And the group that like was being curious about nature basically and the sights and sounds, they smiled more in their selfies, and they showed that nature was a greater percentage of the photo. And in the study where they were directed to like do whatever they wanted, they were the center. So that was kind of an interesting thing. So the point is that the way we direct our minds can change our experience. It can change how we feel. It can also help us realize the benefits of nature more.
So for a woman who is looking to experience that and in her own way cultivate a deeper conscious connection with nature, what are some practices we could explore?
There are wonderful, easy things. Some of my go-to practices that I love are lying on the earth. So like setting a blanket down, usually, you know, if it's warm out, and then lying down for anywhere from like 5 to 30 minutes to maybe even longer is really nice. It can be difficult a little bit if you're kind of like a doer, but also can be really good medicine. Another one I really like is sitting under a tree with my back against the tree, or, you know, like hugging a tree. That one has really interesting benefits and can help us feel more connected. That one, and then walking in nature, of course. And I even like to walk barefoot if the weather's nice and there's a good path for it, like on the beach or like a grassy area that's going to be pretty safe for my feet. That can have a really recharging effect.
Yeah. The way you describe that, I feel like the term grounding is used in different ways. I mean, I kind of think of it as an idea that's associated with connecting directly to the earth's energy to achieve balance and stability. What would your definition of grounding be? And would you consider these grounding practices?
Yes. Yes, they're definitely grounding. Grounding has to do with having an embodied connection to the earth in the here and now. So I actually think there are two aspects, or kind of two different components. So there's like what I would call mental grounding, which would be using a visualization where we just orient more towards like the physicality of the world and the earth itself. And that is, yeah, you're just like checking in with your body and also maybe consciously connecting to the earth as well, like recognizing like, oh, I'm breathing air, which, you know, comes from trees, like that kind of thing. And then there's also like a physical grounding. And that would be, you know, there's kind of a continuum for this, but anything that is outdoors will probably be grounding, and things have a higher degree of grounding than others. But like, yeah, like going for a walk in nature is grounding, walking barefoot, gardening, lying on the earth, doing these things that connect us to the physical world, connect us to the earth, can be very grounding. And Warren Grossman has this really great quote that I love. He says that nature improves common sense. And I basically think that's a nice, simple way to understand grounding. Grounding is going to help you improve common sense. You're going to do less things. You're going to do less self-sabotaging things. You're going to be, you know, doing things that are just common sense, like being kind to people, being respectful, things like that. That those are all kind of a consequence of grounding.
So now you're in this space where you live and breathe and teach a lot of these nature-related practices. You've talked a lot about a lesson of nature being that it's giving you a sense of enoughness. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. So as I said, I kind of have this like achiever, doer, and a tendency that, you know, I've had for most of my life. And a lot of our habits, what people don't realize is there's usually some kind of root that's like fueling it all or a lot of it. And for me, I wouldn't know this at the time, but it was like this sense that I'm not enough. I have to do more. I have to become more. Then, you know, if I achieve enough, if I have enough social media followers or enough money or like enough friends or whatever it is, then I will like whatever have it. But the thing is that through my journey is I realized that none of those things that I thought would be fulfilling, like it really feed that enoughness, they didn't. And what did is, so I'm a huge backpacker. Like, I love it. It's like my vacation. And I go up on the Superior Hiking Trail, which is just along the north shore of Lake Superior in Minnesota. And it's this gorgeous, like 250 some mile trail through wilderness. You cross streams. It's pretty rugged. And I go there kind of whenever I can. So one time I'm up there and I'm running out of water. And in the back country, like I'm backpacking, I have, you know, everything I need on my back, and water I get from streams and I filter it and then I drink it. But there was like quite a long stretch, 8 miles or so, where there wasn't anywhere to get water. And it was a hot day and I was like really thirsty. And then I know the Temperance River is coming up, because I know it on the map. And then I start to like hear it. I'm like, oh my goodness, it's coming. I'm going to have water soon. And then I get to the Temperance River and it's just such a relief to see this. Like, it's like a wide river, the widest I'd seen up there at that time, maybe at least 50 feet, maybe longer wide. And then, you know, dip my filter in and I'm just like waiting. It's like dripping into my water bottle, drip by drip. And then, you know, there's enough finally to like take a swig. And I do. And I just have this crazy moment where it was just so apparent that water becoming me and getting into my body and just having so much gratitude for this water. And like in St. Paul, Minnesota, where I live, water comes out of the faucet. So, I mean, I kind of take it for granted, I would say. But here, I was like, oh my goodness, this water like traveled all the way here, like on the stream. And now I'm drinking it. And this is like one of the most incredible experiences, though very simple. And then the next moment, I just feel like this total sense that I belong. And that I'm enough. And I still can't really explain it. It was just, you know, like a gift of grace. And then I realized that nothing I could have ever done, like nothing I could have ever achieved, could have brought me to this moment. It was just something I had to realize. So what I like to tell people is that, you know, we all are already enough. We all already belong, but we just don't realize it fully yet. And when we start to have these moments where we see it, like in little or big ways, then our motivations for things change. And we don't chase things that aren't truly satisfying as much anymore.
Yeah. What a beautiful download about just the interconnected nature of everything, really. I'm curious, because most of these trips you go on and lead women, it's just women, right? Which I love. Most of them are multi-day and they're a little bit more remote maybe than your average, you know, just walk in the woods. And I think for a lot of women, if we didn't grow up camping, some people just weren't exposed to it. I think it can be intimidating or seem like, oh gosh, it feels disorienting to be stripped of our maybe creature comforts. And obviously there's no mirrors and we're going to have to get vulnerable and disconnect. And I think that can be intimidating, like I said, for many women. What is the argument for maybe pushing through that discomfort and at least once in our lifetime trying something like the adventure you're leading?
That's a really good point. And actually, that's kind of my inspiration for the trips, is to create a supportive space for women to try something new. It will be a little bit uncomfortable and a little bit scary, but the groups are relatively small. I do my best to like prepare people as much as possible. Like, we have a pre-trip meeting where we talk about things. And I will say, like, a surprising number, sometimes a third of the people on the trip haven't done the thing before. Like, they, at least like one component of the thing, like they haven't camped, they haven't backpacked, they haven't sea kayaked, or they haven't done yoga or meditation. Like, so it's just meant to be like a supportive space to try something new. And I remember one person on my trip, they were like, I wanted to try backpacking, but I didn't want to feel stupid doing it. So that's why I joined your trip. I didn't want to be in a group where I'd be like made fun of and stuff. So I try to create like a really nice space for learning and growth and like asking questions. So what's on the other side of that? Like, so I lead a trip to the Porcupine Mountains, and there were two women who signed up and they were friends and they'd never done anything like this before. So that one is backpacking. And then we stay in like these backcountry cabins. And, you know, it was challenging. It is a challenging trip. They're all fairly physically challenging. And you kind of will sometimes get to like a point where you're like, I don't know if I can do this. you kind of have to work through some of that. Or like, things are uncomfortable. You don't have your luxuries. But they texted us on their way home, like after the trip, and they were like, I've never felt the high I feel now. And I was like, wow, I wasn't even expecting that. But I think it's like a combination of things. First of all, being in an intentional space where we're doing something as a group with a cohesive purpose, like that's powerful in and of itself. The second thing, we're in nature for like 4 days. Truthfully, I am a bit addicted to my phone, and like these places, you can't even get reception. So like, to have that not even be an option, like, oh, I can't check my text, I can't look at my email. There is like energy that's often released when we don't have that weight or like subtle anxiety of like, oh, what's going on? So like, that can be really healing. And then being in nature and receiving all of those health benefits of fresh air, green space, soothing sights. And then also, like, another one of my favorite things is nature is full of little moments of awe and wonder. And I read in one of Brené Brown's books that some researchers argue that awe is one of the most healing experiences a human can have. And if you think about it, like just like the awe of looking at a night sky or like a beautiful vista when you're like there, generally speaking, you are not thinking of anything else. You are like there in that moment. And there's also often a sense of being small and being very expansive at the same time. So it makes us, it kind of gives us this, I don't know, beyond human.
It's a different perspective for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So it kind of can break up thought patterns or habits just when we have that striking experience. So all of these things and more can kind of create space for people to have a different perspective, to view their life in a different way. Maybe I even view some of their challenges in a different way. I had that physical challenge, and now I think writing this email isn't so bad or something like that.
Yeah. So we're coming up against time. I appreciate how candid you are about the bumps in the road you faced and the healing aspects of nature that have really helped you persevere on your own path. I'm wondering if there are any messages on your heart based off of your own experience that you'd like to leave with my community.
I would say just nature and be curious and have fun and maybe even like play a little like a kid would. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate. I know you grew up on lots of land, and there's something about nature that makes it easier to drop into not only that awe experience. I mean, I think of sunsets and just that perspective, but just that childlike wonder and play. And in my experience, it really lends itself to living in the moment, which is something I think we all want to do, but it takes a little bit of intention sometimes at our ages and once we get have more demands in the world. So,
yeah, definitely.
I always end my episodes with a reflection. So in this area of finding the, I would say, restorative nature and rejuvenating nature of being outdoors, and also kind of this aspect of how nature might help us reconnect with our sense of self, what's one question women could be asking themselves more?
Okay, I have a few spinning around in my head. So, but the first one was something like, what can this moment teach me? So if you're in nature or even throughout your day, like, oh, what can this moment teach me? Or what can I learn from this moment?
I think that's perfect. Laura, thank you so much for joining us. I know my listeners are going to be eager to connect and learn more. So where can we find you and hear more about these adventures?
Yeah, so my website, wholelifeelevation.com, and I'm also on Instagram at wholelifeelevation, doing lots of funny reels lately.
I like funny. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad you joined me today. If you're looking for more, feel free to connect with me on Instagram at WhitneyWoman. And if you enjoyed the show, I invite you to support me by leaving a review or sharing it with a friend. Hope you have an inspired day.